Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, three preseason games now in the books, the San Francisco game this past weekend for the Packers. Let's take a review of that contest, starting with the offense. What jumped out at you the most?
Well, first off, how quickly does the preseason training camp go by? It seems like just yesterday, Mike, you and I were sitting here talking about all the position battles that were going to be up for grabs, all the games that were ahead of us with five games, and suddenly you find yourself in this final week. And going into this game against San Francisco, we knew this was where we were going to see the veterans. We knew that this is where, if Aaron Rodgers was going to play, it was going to be in Santa Clara.
Right.
And to be honest with you, the first series, a little bit uneven, which Aaron Rodgers kind of talked about and tied that into what he felt was a phantom offensive pass interference penalty. The second series is everything you could have hoped for and more. It was the combination of the run that we've seen so far with Eddie Lacy in the offensive line,
and
the productivity of Aaron Rodgers making that first attempt and completion to Jared Cook. Realistically, when you look at if this was going to be the only work they were going to get before the start of the regular season, I thought the offense looked really like it was clicking, even though Jordy Nelson wasn't on the field yet.
Yeah, I thought that second possession after the first possession with the disjointedness with the penalties and got that out of the way, the second possession I thought the offense really found its rhythm. You got the no huddle going a little bit. You had Rodgers catch them with 12 men on the field at one point. We also saw Aaron Rodgers making those checks at the line of scrimmage in that no huddle, and you could see he was finding those seams of where to run the ball with Eddie Lacy and James Starks to find those running lanes, to pick up the third and two, to move the chains. That was all part of the rhythm of the Packers offense that we're used to seeing. And as you said, it was without Jordy Nelson still in the field. I thought Jared Cook obviously made a strong impression, and Randall Cobb looked like the Randall Cobb of old, I guess, if you can say it that way, with a guy who's still so young. But Randall Cobb looked like a guy who is definitely ready for the regular season to get here.
Aaron Rodgers went out on his own independently to compliment Cobb and in the adjustments he made in the offseason. I think a lot of us, maybe you knew it because you're on top of everything, but Randall Cobb added 6 pounds this offseason of basically pure muscle in an effort to be able to break more tackles, be more physical, and get more yards after the catch, which is critical for a guy that's in the slot and working the middle of the field. So I thought he looked exceptional. I thought he really still looked explosive. I thought that was as explosive as we've seen from Cobb in some time. And I think that's basically just queued up to the fact that he's been healthy.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I don't think we see him drop the shoulder and try to plow in over the goal line with the way he was feeling with that bad shoulder last year. That would have been a tough move for him to make.
Absolutely, yeah. And that AC joint sprain, that's something that can keep guys out for weeks, and Cobb played through it, but obviously had to play with the ramifications of that injury as well. So for the offense to get going the way it did, I thought was impressive. And getting back to that run game quick, Eddie Lacy, 20 carries for 114 yards now during the preseason. If the Packers were looking for him to respond, I thought he did it during this last month. And credit to the Packers running game, even though Aaron Rodgers hasn't been on the field for two of those preseason games, third in the NFL in the exhibition season in rushing yards per game at 148 per game. So it's been impressive what they've been able to accomplish despite not having the threat of Rodgers in many of those contests.
Yeah, for sure. The Packers have sent a message. Mike McCarthy has sent a message to his team that they are going to run the football when he wants to run the football. And that we've seen that all through these first three preseason games. Now you also take a look at Joe Callahan. Brett Hundley missed another game with the ankle injury, the re-injury of the ankle. You look at Joe Callahan coming in a little bit up and down here and there to be expected from a young guy like that, but boy, he made some plays, and unfortunately, you know, Davante Adams couldn't come up with that one at the goal line, but that throw rolling to his left, off his wrong foot, I guess you could say, whatever it was. He throws it 40-some yards in the air, you know, on a line to Adams at the goal line and couldn't quite come up with the catch. But even Aaron Rodgers said that was, boy, that was one heck of a throw.
One of the sweetest throws he's ever seen is what he uttered. And the one thing that's been constant with Callahan throughout these three preseason games and in the second game, yeah, he wasn't able to have as much success, but he has an amazing feel for the pocket and being able to evade pressure.
Yeah.
He did it on that play. He did it on the 60 or 51-yard pass to Guillermo Allison. And you can see just just that intuitiveness that kind of is into his game. But also, I want to get back to one thing, too. Jared Cook, as I mentioned, got his first rep with Aaron Rodgers, but it was also amazing how Callahan was able to put him to work. Cook ended up with four catches.
Those guys were clicking.
Yeah, four catches for 54 yards. All four of those catches converted first downs. Three of them came in a third down or fourth down situation. So Jared Cook showing early on what he can do for this offense, and Joe Callahan showing that he can get the most out of those tight ends in the middle of the field. That's been a staple of his offenses here in these first three preseason games.
Yeah, and I think it's remarkable what Joe Callahan has done. We don't know at this point if he's going to be on the 53-man roster or if the Packers may try to bring him back to the practice squad. We'll see how that shakes out. But for a Division III quarterback to come in here sight unseen and learn Mike McCarthy's offense and perform in the preseason games the way he has, just a remarkable jump for a young, unproven player.
Yeah, and it just shows you what the Packers scouts know compared to me. I had a lot of reservations at first. It's like, you know, Division III. You know,
yeah, it raises question marks for sure.
Even if you are dominant, even if you are winning, you know, the big, you know, Heisman type trophy of Division III football, there's still so much higher level football that there is when you look at the D2 and D1, FBS, FCS. So you really have to be exceptional. And I think Callahan, he's been sort of a diamond in the rough in some ways. And, you know, credit to the Packers that they were able to find him.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, we'll switch gears and talk about the defense in San Francisco after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, flipping sides to the defensive side of the ball in San Francisco. The one drive with Blaine Gabbert at quarterback, the 49ers got a touchdown. A run there from Carlos Hyde leaked out, a 27-yard run that set up first and goal. But boy, other than that, you look at the defense through the first three quarters, I think, you know, there were just a handful of first downs, maybe 40 total yards aside from the one early touchdown drive. It's hard to argue with what the Packers defense is doing out there.
Yeah, absolutely. This whole preseason, it's been that way. I mean, this game, 9 completions for the 49ers, 4 quarterbacks, a 35.8 passer rating. As you mentioned, they let the Hyde carry leak out there for 27, 134 yards on the night for the 49ers rushing attack. But all things considered, I really liked how the Packers responded to that. This is a very young defense, and they've gotten a lot of reps here in this preseason that I think is going to benefit them in the long run. Clay Matthews got his first action of the year. Julius Peppers was on the field a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see who's exactly healthy when it comes to the regular season opener. But what the Packers have done this preseason compared to last year, I think when a lot of people were pressing the emergency button against Philadelphia.
Yeah, after that third preseason game, Everybody was wondering what was going on with the defense. It's definitely a different feel at this stage of training camp right now.
Yeah, and you don't want to overreact anything is, you know, basically right. What I'm trying to say. It can go either way. Packers, I thought, started pretty well last year, all things considered, even though some people were kind of curious and worried about what came out of the Philadelphia game. And somebody like myself also thought that the Eagles were going to be really, you know, stout offensively. So You want to cushion it, but I think overall I've been impressed with what I've seen defensively.
Yeah, and I think, too, I know some fans are concerned about, you know, where's the pass rush, and there aren't a whole lot of sacks that are being racked up and whatnot, but we're also not seeing Dom Capers dial up a whole lot of blitzes in the preseason. It is pretty straightforward vanilla defense, and I think the way the Packers have stopped the run, the way the players in the secondary, they probably could have more interceptions than they've had. They've gotten their hands on quite a few passes, but getting those deflections, you know, that even if you don't get the turnover, that stops a drive, forces a punt. I thought the Packers defense after that opening touchdown drive was completely dominant, and both Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick really did not have any success after that opening drive.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I wrote down the Packers actually getting a 3-and-out. It was several, though, in terms of how they were able to force him into those situations. Still had 3 sacks. Obviously, they weren't the Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers of the world, but they're finding ways to get after the quarterback. Really, when you talked about them sort of being rather vanilla in their calls, they've really only been working on those inside concepts with the middle linebacker blitz. Blake Martinez has done some of that here in these last few preseason games. We haven't seen them bringing very many cornerbacks, you know, slot corners, safeties, what have you. Let's keep in mind it is only the preseason in terms of don't take out too much good or bad out of these things. But in terms of being able to do what they've emphasized this offseason and getting those young guys, particularly in the secondary playing time, I think it's been really beneficial.
Yeah, and I think it's been impressive what the secondary has done through this preseason without Morgan Burnett, who's
right.
one of the veteran starters. And Mike McCarthy mentioned the other day, it doesn't sound like there's any long-term concern with Burnett. They're really being cautious with his back injury and making sure that he'll be good to go for Jacksonville. So most likely we will not see any of the veteran players the rest of the preseason. Do you feel this Packers defense is set for week one, you know, potentially on a hot day to go four quarters against Jacksonville?
Yeah, I think so. The biggest question is what it was at the beginning of camp too, and that's the defensive line and,
yep.
and what exactly you have there. Kenny Clark has been sitting out with the back injury, but much like Morgan Burnett, there isn't a concern there for him. He believes he'll be back in time for the Jaguars game. But even if Clark is on the field, there's still a lot of question marks there because you have Mike Daniels and you have LaTroy Guy on it, and then you have a lot of inexperience.
Lots of young guys.
So who's going to be that when Mike Pinnell's gone, who's going to be that fifth defensive lineman that steps up and can help them out in the run game? Because there are some really tough rushing teams that they're going to start the season against, particularly the Minnesota Vikings. So who are the guys that who stick out, make plays there? But other than that, I really like what they have across the board. Dayton Jones can play either way for them right now. He's been getting productivity off the edge. So from the guys that you weren't really sure what was going to happen going into this season, I think there's reasons to be optimistic and excited about what they could potentially give to this defense.
Yeah, you mentioned Dayton Jones. We saw Nick Perry knock down a couple of
passes
at the line
yeah.
of scrimmage. You know, those are important plays. Hopefully we see more of those. But after the break, we will shift gears and look ahead to Kansas City as the preseason wraps up. Back with that on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, turning our attention forward to the Kansas City game to wrap up the preseason. Obviously, a lot of roster decisions to be made. The Packers will have to be down to the 53-man roster limit by Saturday afternoon. In terms of those roster decisions, what position groups jump out at you maybe as the most unsettled where things could get finally sorted out here with this last game?
The exciting thing about what the Packers are at is also their curse, and that is it's going to be a very tough Saturday. And I know every year Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson, they talk about the difficulty of this. It's the worst day of the year. It's the worst part of this business. That they're right. It is.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, when you look at how they've constructed this roster, the undrafted free agents that they've brought in, it's going to be difficult for all the right reasons. And you've seen a lot of young guys really step up and perform. And when you ask me, you know, what are the positions that you're going to be looking at, which ones are going to be the most difficult to come down to, the thing that's exciting for Green Bay is that there's several.
Yeah.
There's the receiver spot right now. You have, you know, upwards of eight guys that could potentially be competing for spots there, and unsettled a number of spots that the Packers might go with. Tight end, offensive line, inside linebacker, outside linebacker. The list goes on and on. Safety.
Yeah.
Punter is still up for grabs. It makes it incredibly exciting. It's obviously very difficult, too, when you have to get put with those type of decisions. But at the same time, there's really no shortage of jobs that are up for grabs going into this final week.
Yeah, as you said, as difficult as it's going to be, Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson would rather have it that way than
yeah.
the alternative. If it's easy to cut down to the 53, then you wonder what you spent the last 4 or 5 months doing and whether you really have built the type of roster that you want. So that being said, Mike McCarthy talked about it after the game in San Francisco and again back in Green Bay, his first press conference of the week, that the Packers have had so many young players make high-impact plays in games. You talk about Josh Hawkins as a cornerback with an interception. Marwin Evans had an interception
right.
in San Francisco, a safety. We've seen Kentrell Bryce at safety make plays on special teams and make tackles coming up from that deep safety spot. We've seen Geronimo Allison at wide receiver make plays. You mentioned the one he made with Callahan on the third and 20 scramble play there. young guys who, you know, are fighting for their NFL lives. Maybe it's in Green Bay. Maybe they catch the attention of another team somewhere else. But a lot of high impact plays by young players, and it is going to make these roster decisions tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we were asked, I was asked in our insider inbox that we do for the website last week, is this the most difficult, you know, is this the deepest the Packers have ever been? I was kind of hesitant to answer it at the time because realistically, we always talk about this. There always is going to be UFAs. There's always going to be returning young players that stand out in the next preseason. But sometimes it all eventually comes out in the laundry. And, you know, guys rise and fall and eventually things fall where they should. But with this year, the thing that's really intriguing to me in terms of how the Packers are structured and where things are headed is that it looks like there's young guys on the team that can contribute from day one. We talked about Blake Martinez at inside linebacker. It's not just making the 53. It looks like the Packers are going to have a good deal of rookies that could considerably get some sizable playing time when they do make the 53-man roster. And that, in addition, is always a good situation, good problem to – not problem, but a good place to be in.
Yeah, and as we've seen throughout the preseason as well, on special teams, which Mike McCarthy again emphasized the other day, is the vehicle for young players to make the team on special teams. We've seen through the preseason games how they've shuffled that special team depth chart around to get certain guys, you know, looks more with the first team special teams players, you know, and seeing how they perform in some of those different situations. The level of evaluation that the Packers get on their players through these four preseason games, you couldn't ask for anything more. I think it'd be difficult. Granted, there are always some players who maybe get lost in the shuffle, but it's difficult for a lot of players, whether they make the team or not, to say that they weren't given a fair shot.
No, you get plenty of playing time and plenty of reps. I even think to last week, I think it was Carl Bradford that came up and played on all the one special teams groups after really being mostly on the twos. Whether it be injuries or opportunity, they find ways to shuffle those guys and make sure that they get as many looks as possible, because at the end of the day, that's what you need to make the final analysis. You can see them in practice. You can get a feel for what they can do in team periods. But when they're actually on the field on a game day in an actual game environment, that's the ultimate determinant. And that's also why Ted Thompson likes to watch these games from the sidelines and really get that look in the eye and understand who these guys are as players.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's continue this conversation about the final Kansas City game after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, final segment here. The Kansas City game to wrap up the preseason. Is there a player or a position group that you are going to be keeping your eye on the most?
The most exciting thing to say would be receiver, just based on, you know, the number of bodies there, the different types of players that they have at that position. But I also want to talk about the linebacker situation. You can make a case in a matter of 2-3 seasons. The Packers have gone from improving that as one of arguably their weakest, thinnest positions to one of their best now in terms of the quantity of pass rushers they have, the multitude of options they have at inside linebacker now. Carl Bradford had a nice camp. Joe Thomas came back bigger and responded. The areas in which you wanted to see the Packers make strides, I thought they made strides this offseason. And even looking at outside backer, Kyler Fackrell had his best game of the preseason going against the 49ers. Laurenti McCray had his first sack on his birthday. So
happy birthday, 55.
Happy birthday, Laurenti McCray. So there's a lot of guys there that they're going to have to make tough decisions on and figuring out exactly where everything aligns. But I thought linebacker, both inside and outside that group in general, is going to be one that I'm going to be keeping an eye on, and I bet there'll be some moving and shaking based on that game against the Chiefs.
Yeah, and one thing that we also have to factor in, or I guess we'll see if it factors into the final roster decisions, some injuries that came out of the San Francisco game. Chris Banjo at safety and a special teams leader, a hamstring injury. Jayrone Elliott, outside linebacker and special teams leader, a hamstring injury. John Crockett, a running back trying to earn that number three running back job, came out of that game with a shoulder injury. So a lot of things still unsettled, you know, at the safety position. You know, Kentrell Bryce, Marwin Evans, a couple guys I mentioned before. I'm really interested to see if one of those guys, you know, really steps forward and makes another big splash play that you can't ignore, so to speak. Brandon Burks at running back in that battle with Crockett, he got the nice touchdown run there after the long pass to Allison, kind of answered the bell when he got in the game. You mentioned wide receiver. You look at cornerback, McKinton Dorlient, another young cornerback who looked like he was playing well, but then came out of the game with an injury. We don't know necessarily his situation. So health is going to play a part in this final game and in these roster decisions, as it always does. But it doesn't sound like anything is necessarily serious. But there's a lot. Those injuries give you a lot of things to have to consider and work out as you try to set this 53-man roster for week one.
I think back to 2 years ago, I think it was Dimitri Goodson had a concussion.
That's
in the preseason finale. I believe it was the preseason finale. They had to make a very tough decision between him and Jamel Roll of who they were going to keep on the roster. Goodson ended up staying, and then week two was ready to play again. So there are those things that you have to factor in of who's going to be available to them when they actually get to that first game in Jacksonville, because you only have the 7 inactive spots too, and you're going to need as many of those guys, you know, around as possible. When you talked about receiver really quickly, I want to touch on Jared Aberderis. There's so many people, I think, that wanted to cut him at the beginning of camp. Oh, it's too deep. How's Aberderis going to do this? He ended up having a phenomenal training camp and put himself right in that conversation again.
Yeah,
I think Aberderis
got a touchdown
first
in San
one.
Francisco. Yeah,
first
really,
career touchdown.
Really nice play.
Yeah, so I mean, considering that, you know, people are like, oh, there's all these bodies, what are they going to do? I think Aberderis has really impressed me with what he did this training camp.
Yeah, well, sounds good, and we will call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for watching, everybody, and we'll see you next time.